Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week in our sermon and service, we heard our Lord telling us that there's always time, still time, for people to come to faith in Jesus and to know God's great love for them. There's still time for us to be growing in faith and understanding more. There's still time for us to deal with issues and problems that we're struggling with in our life, or relationships with other people that could be in a better way. There's always time for God's good gifts, His amazingly good and generous gifts, to be at work among you and with me. Today we are called to repent and turn to the Lord and His way in the scripture readings. But the question is, how can we take advantage of the time we have? How can all these things really happen for us that we would like to have happen in our life as God's people? Maybe as you heard this parable that Jesus told, you could identify with both of the sons who were described in the parable in the gospel lesson. The father asked his two sons to go and work in the vineyard. The reaction of the one is, "I will not." He's just plain rebellious. He doesn't want to do what his father wants him to do, and that's his first reaction. And sometimes we're that way too, aren't we? We just don't want to do something we know is the right and the good thing. We know God's will, but sometimes we don't want to do it, and we are rebellious, and very directly so. But sometimes maybe we're like the second son, the son who says, "I will, Father, I will do what you want me to do." But he never gets around to doing it. He says the right words, but he does not follow through in his life and in his action. We're that way too, aren't we? On Sunday mornings, we say the right things as we sing and as we pray and as we worship, but it doesn't always happen in everyday life all through the week. We struggle with repentance and following our Lord in the way that we might and the way that we could. And it's a problem for every single one of us. In the Old Testament lesson, we were reminded that we are called to get moving in the right direction. Because each one of us does stand before the Lord ultimately on our own. We can't blame our parents or anyone else for who we are and the choices that we are making in our life. And we finally are there with our Lord. And we hear those words from the prophet Ezekiel where he says, "Repent, turn away from your offenses, rid yourselves, battle those sins in your life, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. Repent and live." But again, it's easier said than done to live that and follow that out in our everyday life. How can that happen for us? Well, God had already said through the prophet Ezekiel that it really comes from simply trusting God and what He can do in and through us. Get a new heart and a new spirit. How in the world do we do that? As we struggle sometimes with our same old feelings and thoughts and attitudes. Earlier God had said through Ezekiel, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and then they will follow my decrees and be careful to follow me. They will be my people, and I will be their God." Even in the Old Testament, God is reminding His people that ultimately every good gift, everything that we can do and accomplish, finally comes from God Himself. Not something we can produce just by trying harder and trying to do better in our life. It's coming to our Lord in repentance and trusting that He will help us, forgive us first, and then help us for our life. And He helps us from beginning to end. In the book of Acts, we hear Peter saying this, "God exalted Jesus to His own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. There are some churches and groups that say, you must do certain things and then God will pay attention to you. You must repent. You must get your life turned around and then God will care about you. Peter, in contrast, says that God has done all of his work through Jesus that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to God's people. It's God himself who helps us even to come to the point where we realize our weaknesses and how we can't do anything about them, and we must simply trust the Lord our God. It's God's work, the scriptures would say, working through us. And the key thing is staying then close to our Lord God. And that's what our text for today from Philippians is really talking about. It's emphasizing the same thing for us, that our hope is not in just trying to do better and thinking more positively, but it's really trusting our Lord and leaning upon him and what he's already done for us in Christ our Savior. Paul spends a long time in this scripture reading talking about what Christ has done. He was God, and yet he emptied himself and became a human being to serve us, to be our Savior. And that in fact he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He died for us, to forgive us sins, to make us have the opportunity for a whole new life. He died, but he rose again, and that is what gives us hope for our life now and forever, in what God has accomplished for us. And then he returned to his Father in heaven, and one day he will come again in glory, the scriptures say. But he did it for us. It's God's love for us that sent Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, and we have salvation now simply by his grace, through faith in what Jesus has done. It's Christ's work is the key for you and for me. And we're connected to Christ in and through gifts like baptism, where the scriptures say that as many of you as have been baptized have put on Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. Christ now lives in and with and through us, working in us as we come to faith in him. And the key thing is then staying connected to Jesus. In this passage, Paul does talk about our life in Christ and what it ought to look like. He says things like, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Very literally in the Greek, what it says is, have this mind in you, which you have in Christ Jesus. It's God who changes our minds as we see Jesus' great love and his sacrifice, his being a humble servant for us. And that helps us then to think about being more humble and serving in our own life with others. But it's connection with Christ that is the key to everything. And so Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's where our encouragement and help comes from. Any comfort from his love, as we see his love and know his love and his forgiveness for us, that then gives us comfort and encouragement, but it also gives us strength to seek to follow Christ. If any fellowship with the Spirit is at work in us as well, helping us with all of these things, and giving us then the mind of Christ as we think about him as our Lord and Savior. And then you have those surprising words that almost sound un-Lutheran, where Paul says in this passage, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's work for us to do as God's people, following our new life that is ours in Christ. And if that's all we had, it might sound like, okay, Christ's done his part, now you've got to do your part to be saved. But then we hear those wonderful words, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose. If we are able to accomplish things in Christ, it's really God working in and through and with us, Christ living in us now, as he came to us in our baptism, the Spirit came and worked in our lives, as he comes to us continually through the Word of God. And the key thing, again, is staying close to Christ. If we really want to use our time wisely and follow our Lord in a more faithful way, it's not in our power, but in God's power, that we stay close then to those places where God works, remembering our baptism, receiving gifts like the Lord's Supper when it is offered, and also continuing to hear God's Word, which keeps us close to Christ and tells us about Jesus and encourages us in Him. In fact, right after our text, Paul speaks about the fact that we might be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like light as you hold on to the word of life. Some translations have hold out the word of life. More properly in the Greek, it's first hold on to the word of life. It's God's word that we have to hang on to, hearing about Jesus, knowing his love, being confident about our future, that God is at work in us. And that gives us strength then, in a sense, to work as hard as we can, and yet knowing it's really not our power, it's God's power at work in you and in me that accomplishes things for us. And that's what keeps us going then as God's people, where we can use that time God gives in the best way possible. God's Word is the key. Holding on to the Word which gives us life, what Christ has done for us. But then as we know his love, his sacrifice, his caring, then we want to follow him. As God lives in us, he strengthens us to want to follow our Lord in a more faithful way. And when we're tempted to do things, the best thing that helps us is remembering God's word. God's word that often says, don't do that. Don't go in that direction. Think of how much Christ loves you. And we have strength to carry on with our life in a more faithful way, above all rejoicing in God's love for you and me. It's God's word that points us to Christ, that helps us continue to trust our Savior for everything that we have. It's God's word that calls us to repentance when we fail, and that fear and trembling with which we work out our salvation. We know sin is serious. It's a real problem. And yet Christ has dealt with it for us. We have hope. We can live that battle. We can work on our life in Christ because God is at work in us to will, even to want to do it, and then to do it in Christ our Savior. And we remember the power of God for ourselves. And we remember who we are because of what Christ already has done. We may not feel like it, but that's the way God looks at us. Blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. That's what God declares us to be in Christ. But now as he works in us, he wants us more and more to be that in reality, as Christ lives and works. And God is at work in you and me, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Let us rise for prayer. Lord, we pray that we might not only hear your word and believe it for ourselves, but more and more put it into practice in everyday life, not by our power, but by your working in and through us. Keep us close always to Christ. Strengthen us in faith in him, and also through the word of life that we hang on to and listen to for strength and for knowing what you call us to be as your people. Bless and strengthen each of us in the days ahead in Christ our Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.